Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Gurudeva Jaya Gurudeva Jaya Guru Deva Jaya Guru Deva Guru Deva Jaya Guru Deva Jaya Guru Deva Jaya Guru Deva Jaya Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivida Kacharya Sutara Sata Sushimati Divine Grace Ayusi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Sila Haridas Thakur ki Prensi Gohosu Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda ki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Chamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan ki Ganga Maiki Jamuna Maiki Tulasi Devi Maharani ki Gaura Premanande All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to the Assembled Devotees All glories to the Assembled Devotees all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudevayam. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, part 1, text number 12. Please repeat after me. Yan martya lila upajikam swa yoga. Yan martya lila upajikam swa yoga. Maya balam darsayata grihitam. Bhishma panam swasya cha saubhagardhe. Bhishma panam swasya cha saubhagardhe. Param padam bhushana bhushanangam. Jan martya lila upajikam swayoga. Maya balam darsayata grihitam. Bhishma panam swasya cha saubhagardhe. Param padam bhushana bhushanangam. Please chant. Translation, please repeat. Yat, his eternal form, which.
His eternal form, which.
Martya,
Martya,
mortal world.
Mortal world.
Lila upajikam.
Lila upajikam.
Just suitable for the pastimes.
Just suitable for the pastimes.
Swayoga maya balam.
Swayoga maya balam.
Potency of the internal energy.
Potency of the internal energy.
Darsayata.
Darsayata.
For manifestation.
For manifestation.
Grihitam.
Grihitam.
Discovered.
Discovered.
Bhismapanam.
Bhismapanam.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Swasya.
Swasya.
Of his own.
Of his own.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Saubhagara dehe.
Of the opulent.
Param.
Param.
Supreme.
Supreme.
Param.
Param.
Ultimate stand.
Ultimate stand.
Bhushana.
Bhushana.
Ornament.
Ornament.
Pashana angam.
Bhushana angam.
Of the ornaments.
Body of the ornaments.
Translation by His Divine Grace. Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat after The Lord appeared in the material world by his internal potency.
The Lord appeared in the material world by his internal potency.
Yogamaya.
Yogamaya.
He came in his eternal form.
He came in his eternal form.
Which is just suitable for his pastimes.
Which is just suitable for his pastimes.
These pastimes were wonderful for everyone. Even for those proud of their own opulence.
Even those proud of their own opulence.
Including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha.
Including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha.
Thus his Sri Krishna's transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. By his divine grace, in conformity with the Vedic hymns, Nityo, Nityanam, Chetanas, Chetananam, the personality of Godhead is more excellent than all other living beings within all the universes in the material world. He is the chief of all living entities. No one can surpass him or be equal to him in wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, or renunciation. When Lord Krishna was within this universe, he seemed to be a human being because he appeared in a manner just suitable for his pastimes in the mortal world. He did not appear in human society in his Vaikuntha feature with four hands because that would not have been suitable for his pastimes. But in spite of his appearing as a human being, no one was or is equal to him in any respect in any of the six different opulences. Everyone is more or less proud of his opulence in this world. But when Lord Krishna was in human society, he excelled all his contemporaries within the universe. When the Lord's pastimes are visible to the human eye, they are called prakata. And when they are not visible, they are called aprakata. In fact, the Lord's pastimes never stop, just as the sun never leaves the sky. The sun is always in its right orbit in the sky, but it is sometimes visible and sometimes invisible to our limited vision. Similarly, the pastimes of the Lord are always current in one universe or another. And when Lord Krishna disappeared from the transcendental abode of Dwarka, it was simply disappearance from the eyes of the people there. It should not be misunderstood that his transcendental body, which is just suitable for the pastimes in the mature world, is in any way inferior to his different expansions in the Vaikuntha lokas. His body manifested in the material world is transcendental par excellence in the sense that his pastimes in the material world excel his mercy displayed in the Vaikuntha lokas. In the Vaikuntha lokas, the Lord is merciful towards the liberated or Nitya Mukta, living entities. But in his pastimes in the material world, he is merciful even to the fallen souls who are Nitya Pada, or conditioned forever. The six excellent opulences which he displayed in the material world, in the mortal world, by the agency of his internal potency, Yogamaya, are rare even in the Vaikuntha lokas. All his pastimes were manifested not by the material energy, but by his spiritual energy. The excellence of his Rasa Lila in Vrindavan and his householder life with 16,000 wives is wonderful even for Narayan in Vaikuntha, and is certainly so for other living entities within this material world. His pastimes are wonderful even for other incarnations of the Lord, such as Sri Ram, Narasimha, and Varaha. His opulence was so super excellent that his pastimes were adored even by the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is none different from Lord Krishna himself. Translation again, the Lord appeared in the material world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, his, Sri Krishna's, transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. Om agyana temerandasya agyanam yana chalakaya chakshurumilitam yana taismaya shri gurave namaha. I offer my humble and respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has forced to open my darkened eyes. So, this is a very extraordinary verse, actually. And to tell you the truth, we only have a few minutes to say a few words. So I'll just try to summarize a couple of things, because actually it is not possible to really discuss the different glories. I mean, the purport specifically is talking about all the opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I was just thinking this morning that even if all the inhabitants of planet Earth would start speaking the glories of Krishna and talk about the opulences of Krishna, and we would do that for the life, entire life of Lord Brahma, still we wouldn't reach the end of it. Because the qualities, the transcendental pastimes, the opulence, the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are unlimited. They are truly unlimited. It's just you cannot really grasp them. It's not possible. So we can only say a few words so that we can start thinking about what the verse is saying here. That the Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form. He came in his eternal form. He came almost like one of us, like a human being, as Prabhupada said in the purport, with two arms, two eyes, just like a human person. But he said, you know, although he came like that, he came in his original form. He came in his eternal form, his eternal form. That's the way Krishna, who is depicted here in our deities, Sri Radha Shyama Sundar, and there and the deities of Krishna and Krishna Balaram altar, that is Krishna always playing on his flute, adorned with a peacock feather, performing wonderful pastimes with his devotees, wearing the yellow dhoti and having wonderful ornaments all over his body, including the Kaustubha gem. So Krishna is always playing on his flute. And why remember many, many months ago, Damohar Prabhu was giving a class and was saying, well, when Krishna is in Dwarka, he doesn't play his flute. And I was thinking about that, and I asked him there, I said, well, you know, Krishna is always playing on his flute. If Krishna is not playing on his flute, that's not Krishna. He said, I don't have the time to discuss this. We'll talk about it some other time. So I was not satisfied by that, but I realized that he was busy and had other things to do. So I went to one of my Shiksha gurus here, Pushkar Prabhu, who is kind of a walking encyclopedia. He knows so many verses and so many texts. I said, Prabhuji, Damohar Prabhu said that Krishna in Dwarka doesn't play his flute. That wouldn't be Krishna. Who is that person that is in Dwarka? And Pushkar Prabhu said, well, Krishna has expansions, and they are called Vasudev expansions. They're Vasudevs. So I said, oh, so that's an expansion of Krishna that is actually in Dwarka. So I went to Ghanashyam Prabhu, who is also very knowledgeable, he's my son-in-law, and he has studied the scriptures and knows the text quite well. He says, yes, there are different expansions of Krishna, they are Vasudeva expansions. Actually, the eternal form of Krishna is always in Vrindavan, and we always hear that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Krishna is always in Vrindavan, performing his pastimes, playing on his flute. And when he steps out of Vrindavan, they are basically his expansions. He expands himself into different forms, which at the same time, these forms are unlimited in energy and pastimes. They have unlimited pastimes. They have unlimited beauty, unlimited opulences as well. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, when he was in this planet, he actually manifested all of these great opulences of wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, or renunciation. And Prabhupada said in the purport that no one has been able or can ever surpass these opulences of Krishna. Now, these opulences also are part of the mystic powers that Krishna has. And I wanted to just read, because it is very concise, the way it was expressed in this book called Chasing Rhinos with the Swami. For a long time, I've been a fan of Shyamasundar Das Prabhuji. He writes actually very nice text about his experiences in the movement. And the other day I was reading this from his first volume when Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco in 1967, and they just opened the San Francisco temple. Now you can imagine this. I mean, the scene there was pretty, I just got to San Francisco just a few years later after that, in 1973, that's when I arrived in San Francisco. And in 73, that was still pretty wild, but in 1967, it was very, an amazing scene of the hippies and the period where there was an actual revolution going on in America. So a lot of these people came to Prabhupada and asked him these questions, and he was able to write down, especially concerning this verse that we're talking about here. So let me read, because this is very concise and it will be very clear. The Swami fit right into our scene, and there was so much awe at this point. All we knew about Swamis and Yogis was that they could appear and disappear at will, charm cobras, travel through space. High on LSD, most hippies had had profound mystical experiences, and everyone wanted to acquire these powers on a permanent basis. In fact, many of our early questions to the Swami were about mystic powers. What are they? How do yogis and meditators achieve these powers? Swamiji amazed us with his answers. He said that mystic powers were well defined in Srimad Bhagavatam. I took notes as he read from the Sanskrit text and explained them to us. He told us that there were 8 major mystic powers, each giving the adept a specific transcendental ability. Anima, to become smaller than the small and thus unable to pass through any obstacle. Lagima, to become lighter than a feather and ride the sun's rays to anywhere. Prakti, to obtain anything from anywhere, for example, to touch the moon. Mahima, to become heavier than the heaviest and thus immovable. Isitva, to create or annihilate any object at will. Vasitva, to control all material elements, which enables one to have dominion over others. Prakamya, the power to obtain any desire. Kamavashayita, the ability to assume any shape for maximum control and acquisition. Whoa! And then there are 10 more minor mystic powers, which I also scribbled down. Number one, freeing oneself from hunger, thirst, and all types of bodily discomfort. Number two, hearing things from far away. Number three, seeing things that are very far away. Number four, moving the body at the speed of mind. Five, assuming any form that one desires. Number six, entering into the bodies of others. Number seven, dying, leaving the body when one desires. Eight, witnessing the activities of demigods and goddesses. Number nine, completely executing the objectives of one's determination. And number 10, giving orders whose fulfillment is unimpeded. But there are even more. There are five perfections of yoga and meditation that are thought to be of inferior quality to the powers listed above. Number one, to know the past, present, and future. Number two, to tolerate extreme heat, cold, and other dualities. To know the minds of others. Number four, to become invulnerable to fire, water, poison, weapons, or curses, and to remain unconquered by others. Of course, said the Swami, Krishna devotees are totally uninterested in these powers. They want only Krishna's love. Even if Krishna gives them a hard time, never mind. This bhakti yoga devotional service is the supreme yoga process, and the perfection of bhakti is to go back home to Krishna's abode and associate eternally with Krishna, full of bliss and knowledge. One of Krishna's other names is Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic powers. So if you live with the master, automatically what the master has is also yours. The fact that Swamiji even knows all this stuff. So, sometimes people think that, or they want to chant Hare Krishna so that they can obtain some of these mystic powers and get some of the same opulences that Krishna has, that we mentioned about earlier. Wealth, fame, beauty, knowledge, renunciation, and so on. But actually, what Srila Prabhupada is saying, no, the devotees, the only thing we are interested is to develop a loving relationship with Krishna. That's all we are interested. All the mystic powers, they naturally will come to the performer of the bhakti yoga devotee. Because when you are with Krishna, some of these mystic powers, they naturally will come to you. And as devotees that we have performed devotional service for many years, you will probably notice that you have done things in your devotional career that are very unusual, or that things that most people cannot do or perform, or that you yourself wouldn't be able to perform unless you were actually performing them in devotional service. There's like some things that I personally have done that I couldn't imagine that I could do it if I wouldn't have been a devotee. I mean, it's not possible. I'm just a devotee. Before I became a devotee, I was a poet. I used to write poetry, and I used to go around San Francisco Bay Area and recite poetry and write poetry. And then I became a musician, and I was playing music. But still, I mean, I couldn't compare myself to some of the super amazing musicians that I have played with. I mean, I have played some with very, very great musicians that are true musicians. I mean, they have, like, my friend Jean-Pierre Thomas, who is he has a double master's in music. He can read anything. He can play anything: blues, jazz, classical music, Debussy, Johann Sebastian Bach, any kind of music. He can read it and play it, or even he doesn't even need to read it. He has memorized so much music. And other musicians that I've played with, that they are very great composers. And I've played with them. And I've done performances with them, and I've told them when they were wrong, no, you are wrong over there. You shouldn't do it that way. You should do it this way. It would sound better. And, you know, like thinking about who am I to be able to tell these great musicians this or that, but I could feel it, I could hear it. And the reason why I play music is because I became a devotee and I played in the temples. And that's really what I actually learned how to play music a little bit, by playing for Krishna. And I was just playing for Krishna, and then Krishna gave me some knowledge and information on how to play this music. So I ended up learning how to play probably the most difficult flutes, woodwinds in the world, including the bansuri, which is a very difficult instrument, or the murali flute, which is the shakuhachi. But those insights were given to me just because I was doing some devotional activity, playing for the deity, because I love playing for Krishna. I love sitting down. I used to love sitting in front of the deities and playing beautiful music for Krishna. So my wife also, who plays the harp, beautiful harp, she loves playing the harp, but she really learned playing for the deities. And the devotees themselves who do devotional activities here, they gotta have some of these mystic powers that were mentioned earlier to be able to perform all the activities that are done in order to maintain the deity worship here. And also all of those devotees that cook and distribute the prasadam every Sunday and every feast. I mean, it requires a special abilities to organize so many devotees and to cook all that prasadam for hundreds and hundreds of people and to be able to distribute. I mean, I think these people are like warriors. They are like these people that work in the kitchen, Mother Mukhya. They are like, to me, they are heroes to be able to do that. Because you have to be so focused on Krishna consciousness, just so you gotta focus your mind and think of Krishna, that you are doing this for Krishna, that you are actually cooking for Krishna, that when you are so close to doing that devotional practice of putting your love into pleasing the Lord through your cooking, that you actually are given certain mystic powers, certain opulences by which you can you can perform your service. So we are very, very lucky also that in the last two or three weeks, we every night we do a Bhagavad Gita reading, and it just happened to us that we came at the end of chapter 9. I always loved chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita. But then the chapter 9 that we were discussing the other day with a Bhagavad Gita study group that we have, that chapter 9 really is like the launching chapter to chapter 10, which is the crown glory of the Bhagavad Gita. A lot of scholars think that chapter 10 really is the most extraordinary chapter, or the crown jewel of the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 10, and of course chapter 11, but chapter 10 really is the main, the crown jewel of the Gita. And the title of it is specifically matches the verse that we were reading here today, which is the opulence of the absolute. So I just wanted to say, wanted to read a couple of these verses, which are, they are so incredibly beautiful. I mean, it's like unbelievable. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who knows this, perfectly engaged in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and idea and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. And then, of course, Krishna goes into describing himself. Beautiful, beautiful verses. Because Arjuna asks, how should I meditate on you? In what various forms are you to be contemplated, O blessed Lord? And so Krishna describes himself. And then he goes to say, I am the Self, O Gudakesh, seated in the hearts of all creatures. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. I am Marichi of the Maruts. And among the stars, I am the moon. Of the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. Of the demigods, I am Indra. Of the senses, I am the mind. And in living beings, I am the living force, knowledge. So, every single verse of the chapter 10 is just so incredibly beautiful. But it ends with a very beautiful verse also. It says, but what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. That's inconceivable, that a person who's just 16 years old, just a teenager, kind of, is playing on his flute, is performing all of these activities. But he is a person. Now, some people cannot accept that, or they cannot even when Krishna was here, not everybody could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even when Krishna went and showed the universal form to Duryodhana to stop the war, Duryodhana wouldn't accept it. Thought, oh, these are magic tricks that Krishna is performing on us. That couldn't be true. In other words, he couldn't really accept that he had manifested his universal form. There's always living entities, human beings, that will not accept this. They will not accept Krishna. They will ask as a person. And why? Why people cannot accept that Krishna is a person? Because they want to be Krishna themselves. Because they, if I accept that the Supreme Personality of God is a person, then I have to surrender. I am not him. I am not that person. Therefore, there is someone superior to me. I have to surrender unto him. And I have to, when I hear that voice within my heart, which is the Paramatma, then, oh no, that couldn't be a person telling me that I shouldn't be doing this or that. That couldn't be true. So in general, people are having a hard time to accepting that God is a person, basically because they cannot accept the surrender. They cannot surrender to God. But there are other persons and other devotees that really understand, or they can see for whatever reason. Look at even Shyamasundara Prabhu. He was just a hippie. I mean, what qualifications did he have? He didn't have any. Or Malati Devi, his wife. No qualifications, except that when Srila Prabhupada came on the tarmac at the airport in San Francisco, and they went to pick him up in 1967. For them, that was their spiritual master. There was no question about it. And Shyamasundara writes that Prabhupada was the most beautiful person that he had ever seen. I mean, come on, a 70-year-old man, old person, the most beautiful person that he had ever seen? Why? Because he said he was glowing. He was glowing. He had a glow. He had an effulgence. Now, some people could see that effulgence, some people couldn't see. But there are other people that saw that effulgence that Srila Prabhupada had. It is also in the biography of Yamuna Devi, Yamuna Devi's biography, bio, where it says that they were in Surat. And when she looked back and saw Srila Prabhupada, she thought that Prabhupada was shining like the sun. Was like the sun. He was like effulgent. And another devotee told me that it was close to, I guess he heard it probably from Shyamasundar, that song that George Harrison wrote that became very famous, Here Comes the Sun, he wrote it actually because Prabhupada was coming to London. Here Comes the Sun. George Harrison also knew that that was the sun coming. Here Comes the Sun. Now, a lot of people, the history of that song, if you read it, it would say, oh, well, you know, it was just a beautiful song. He wanted to get away from Apple Records and have some good time. What good time? No, he was inspired to write that song. If you really listen to it, Here Comes the Sun, it has a certain potency in the words and in the lyrics. It's just kind of uplifting. Here comes the sun. And that's who Srila Prabhupada was. He is like the sun coming into our lives and bringing those rays of light. And as you get closer to the rays of light and you are mapped to the rays of light of that sun, of that Krishna, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you chant the names, that's how some of these opulences that Prabhupada is talking about here in the verse, they are also coming, and as he says, that we become imbibed by them, that we actually get some of these powers, but not that the devotee should chant the names or get close to Krishna to get the powers. That's not what is important. What is important is to get the love of Krishna and to be close to Krishna. Let's see. Okay, so I spoke for a few minutes here. As I say, I really don't know enough, but I don't have enough tongues either. Even if I knew, if I could speak about the opulences of Krishna for the next 10,000 years, I still wouldn't be able to reach the end of it. It's just not possible because they are inexhaustible. It's a chintya. It's like unbelievable, all of his potencies. If you if you ever hear some of the beautiful music that is played out there on the bansuri flute also, all the nuances of the ragas, how all the emotions and all the feelings are expressed, but just changing one note or half of a note or a microtone, is just unbelievable. How Krishna had this knowledge, and he gave all that knowledge, all that information through his music as well. Very, very incredible. So, but Krishna in the Vaikuntha Lokas, in the purport at the end, he talks a lot, Srila Prabhupada is talking about Krishna in his expansion in the Vaikuntha Lokas, and in his four-armed Narayan. For the devotees, we really are not so interested in seeing the four-armed form of Krishna, of Narayan, in Vaikuntha. We are more interested in seeing Krishna playing on his flute in Vrindavan. Even on the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, even when Krishna showed the four-armed form to Arjuna, still, Arjuna was not satisfied. He wanted to see Krishna in his two-armed form. And that's the way we want to see Krishna, always as a person, as our friend, and as the person that we want to be developing a loving relationship with, which is what this is about. Because if you don't think of Krishna as a person, and he's not a person, then how are you going to develop that loving relationship. You can have loving relationship for the earth, or the oceans, or the sky, or the material elements, but it will not have the subtlety and the depth of the loving relationship that you can have with a person. But again, if you don't have that relationship with a person, then you're free to do whatever you want. And people like that freedom. They don't like to surrender. We don't want to surrender. But the fact is that that's where the nectar is. The nectar is in that surrender and in developing that loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So any questions or any comments? Yes, go ahead. Yes, he has a microphone.
I'm just wondering how the hippies achieved, like, they had mystical experiences from taking LSD. I was just wondering how that happens, because I would just think that it's just like brain chemistry from taking, you know, alters the brain chemistry. So I was just wondering how they had mystical experiences by taking LSD.
Yeah, of course, there are different chemicals, okay? These are chemicals that can change the chemicals in your brain, right? And when you change the chemicals in your brain, then it changes the way you see things around yourself. most of these chemicals or artificial, so to speak, drugs, they are originally in the natural drugs, cannabis, and also the mushrooms, the psychedelic mushrooms, mescaline, peyote, you know, these different kind of herbs. But, you know, what Prabhupada taught us here was that you can go way, way beyond all of these experiences that these drugs can give you, and that's what the devotees that were originally hippies taking these drugs, they found that there was, like Mukunda came and told Shamasundar before they became devotees, said, well, no, there is something beyond these psychedelics. You know, this is nothing. This is just a children's play. There is nothing. The mantras, the sound vibration can change your brain also, because what happened when you see things in a different light, you know, there are different parallel universes, which is what Sadaputta Prabhu, actually, some of the greatest teachings of Sadaputta was to bring forward the understanding of the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is very difficult to grasp what the Bhagavatam is saying there. But actually, we live in a multi-dimensional system. It's a multi-dimensional, multi-universe. That's where we are. And some universes have four dimensions. They are ruled by a Brahma with four heads. And there are dimensional systems that are 10-dimensional systems or 100-dimensional systems. I mean, there are so many dimensional systems. So what happens is that if you change your perception of things, you can enter into these other universes which may not be four-dimensional. Maybe six-dimensional or 10-dimensional. Even colors have their own dimensions. But the power of the holy name and the sound vibration that of the spiritual sound vibration that Prabhupada brought was way, way beyond all of these herbal psychedelics or chemical psychedelics. I'll just tell you one little experience because I don't want to take all the time here. But before I became a devotee, just before, I guess a few months early, I used to live like one block away from the temple, from the Hare Krishna temple in Berkeley. And I was really into music and poetry. And one day, somebody had given me some psilocybin mushrooms. So I took these mushrooms I prepared myself to have a trip, so I did take a trip, and I was listening to Tony Scott on his clarinet and a beautiful, beautiful music, and I saw these beautiful, like, temples. It was an amazing trip. So a few weeks later, and after I met the devotees, they invited me to go to Mongol Arctic. So this is the first time I ever went to Mongol Arctic. I didn't even know what it was or what I was going to find. But this devotee, who was a friend of mine, was inviting me to Prasham all the time and giving me Prasham, and I really like him. He said, come to Mongol Arctic. And I said, what's Mongol Arctic? He said, well, we have this ceremony every morning at 4:30 at the temple. So I got my bike at 4:30 in the morning. I said, this is crazy, 4:30 in the morning. What am I going to see here? And I go to this temple, Hare Krishna temple, and the boys start singing Samsara Dava. And I look at the deity of Lord Nityananda on the left of the temple, and I start dancing with the devotees, and I said, oh my God, this is just like my trip, my psilocybin mushroom trip, but way better. This is like beyond my trip. My trip is nothing. This is ridiculous. This is the real thing. This is the real trip. And because when I was there, I was talking, like, I was talking with Lord Nityananda, and I was chanting the holy names, and I was in such a state of, I guess, bliss or ananda or whatever you want to call it. I guess Krishna gave me a little taste as to what you can experience doing these things. I said, wow, this is way beyond any kind of mushroom trip or anything. Actually, I gave up drugs pretty soon right after that. It's like, I didn't need this stuff. One devotee convinced me, said, I said, what should I do next? He said, oh, just go to your house, throw all your alcohol away and all your marijuana away. I said, yeah, you're right. I went home and I took all my marijuana, threw it away, done the shoot, boom, gone. I took all my alcohol. I used to love brandy and all that. Took it down the drain, never touched it again. That was 45 years ago. So why? Why did I do that? I was really addicted to that stuff. Why? Because I have more pleasure doing this than doing that. It's just more fun. Come on, we're just here chanting with, Bhadra Prabhu was chanting Hare Krishna, and we're all dancing and having a great time. This is so wonderful, such a joyful experience. And we are actually experiencing a multi-dimensional universe where we are seeing the deity of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Okay, I hope I didn't. I just explained a couple of words.
So in those herbs, there's something that...
I'm sorry, I cannot hear.
Oh, it's okay.
In those herbs, there's some qualities in those herbs from the earth that can give you those experiences.
Yes, there is, for sure, because it will change your perception. And when it changes your perception, you will be able to see other multidimensional universes or other dimensions. Yes, you can.
Yes, I would propose, it's not the herbs that do it, it's
can you put the microphone closer?
Ultimately, it's your consciousness that experiences it. And, you know, even when we're just doing ordinary tripping, everyday tripping, you know, there's so many processes in it that facilitates the input and whatever. I mean, this is a sophisticated machine here. I never did any of this stuff, but as a baby boomer, I got a lot of stories, you know, but it sounds like, it just opens up certain processes to experience other things. Because ultimately, I've heard so many stories about the LSD stuff. I mean, there's some really far out trips, and then there's some really difficult trips that people go mad. So, you know, ultimately it's the consciousness, and maybe there's different things that it opens up for us of experience that is not standard in a human form.
That's right. In other words, it intensifies your consciousness. He's right. In other words, you can have a very good trip or you can have a bad trip. And if you have a bad trip, you really have a bad trip. It's like intensifies, because now you're going to go into another dimensional system, which may be a hellish dimensional system. And if you experience hell in that state where you cannot even control your own senses is really bad. It's like it gets worse. And so in any case, that's why Srila Prabhupada said, well, but with this system, you are always getting high, higher and higher and higher, and there is no coming down. And that is true. There's no coming down. Going back to Godhead. Okay, thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you for listening. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.